Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Greetings, everybody, and welcome to this week's Behind the Curtain podcast. Well, of course, as you know, we're in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic that is going on. And I'll be honest with you. I had several interviews scheduled for today, some great theater coming up. And of course, everything is canceled, postponed or canceled. And so the one thing, of course, that is not canceled is the world of politics. That continues, and it continues big time as we go through this pandemic and our response to it. Plus, of course, it is election season, elections going on in Illinois and other states around the country, and how governors are handling this very difficult situation. So let's get a handle on some politics for this week as we look ahead to what might be waiting for us in the future. Joining me is Richard Gordon. He's an attorney. He's a Democratic strategist. He knows pretty much every Democratic governor in the country, and so he's got some great insight on all of this. Richard, been a while, but welcome back to Behind the Curtain.
Well, thank you. It's a delight to be on with you again. Thank you.
So since you do have a lot of contacts with the Governors Association and meeting lots of folks, and we're just coming off of the the Illinois situation where Governor J.B. Pritzker decided we will go ahead. It was sort of interesting, you know, on the same day or the day after, he's telling us you can't go to the bars, you can't go to the restaurants, don't gather with any more than, 10 people or whatever it is, and keeping all those restrictions, which you could debate them and discuss them, but most people would say better safe than sorry. But by the way, go vote. That's okay. And we'll make sure we have wipes and sanitizer for you, but just go ahead and go vote. Of course, in Ohio, the Republican governor takes a very different approach. They're canceling it, and even though the court said he couldn't, he cancels it anyway. What is your reaction, knowing the sense of governors? Illinois has a Democrat, Ohio Republican. Do you have any sense, is there a rhyme or reason to what the response is around the country and with these primaries and our situation?
Well, there's a whole bunch of things, and there is no rhyme or reason. I honestly do not believe this is political. I know how crazy that sounds, but I think Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, who happens to be a Republican, I think he's trying to do the right thing, what he perceives is the right thing. And I think Governor Pritzker also is not being political here, and is also trying to do the right thing, and they're coming to opposite conclusions on what that is. And what that points out, here you have two good guys who are just trying their best, and it points out the real problem here, which is a national lack of leadership. This is not an Illinois issue. This is not an Ohio issue. You got two bright guys who are trying to do the right thing. They're coming out with separate conclusions. It is incongruous to tell people, do not leave your house, do not go out, do not go anywhere, oh, but you should go vote. Now, voting is a very, very important thing, and people should go vote, and it's extremely important. But if this is something that could have been postponed, I think the governors collectively, I think Washington and the president should have been telling the states a long time ago that, look, there are trouble clouds developing. We need to do something nationally. This virus does not know the border of Illinois, okay? And we cannot look at this as an Illinois issue and an Ohio issue. And we need our federal government to step up and show leadership and be telling people what to do. So now we have this awkward situation in Ohio where people thought they were voting, but they're not. People in Illinois and other places are confused. I don't know what tonight's results are going to show. I mean, we know what the polls show, and we think we know what the results are going to be, but we have no clue who's voting. And the voting tonight could be, Paul, this could be tremendously skewed. Because let's just take Florida for a second. You didn't ask about that, but let's just talk about the Florida results, okay?
Well, Florida's the top prize tonight with 219 delegates.
Exactly. But it could be tremendously skewed because who's voting? In a normal election, primary election in Florida, we would see a huge outpouring of elderly citizens going to vote. First of all, they are the biggest voting bloc in the country. But second of all, they take this thing seriously. They vote. But we don't know what's going to happen because they're the exact people who've been told, do not leave your home. So if you're told, do not leave your home, I think many people would say, well, as much as I want to do the patriotic thing and vote, I better be safe and stay home. Look, people are not going to the food store and going food shopping. Are they going to go vote? What do the elections on Tuesday mean if the electorate has been so skewed by this? And here you got two guys. I don't think they're playing politics here. I think they're playing healthcare.
And they're trying
to balance the issues.
I won't disagree with you on that. And that's why I sort of presented it as we have two different parties, whatever. And as you said, it may be two reasonable people coming to two different results as to what they think was the best way to handle it. I guess we'll see. Of course, in Ohio, there won't be election results. Illinois looks like low voter turnout, but also a very high early voting turnout. So we'll see how all that plays out. And of course, a real mess apparently at a lot of the polling sites during the day with, you know, equipment not ready, staff not there. All that sort of thing, as you would expect, perhaps happened today. Let's go to the national response to all of this. You know, as much as you try and keep things nonpartisan in a discussion like a pandemic, and we should, this is everybody's got to come together. But in a press conference, President Trump was basically said, you know, you from the Oval Office said it's time to put partisan differences aside. But, you know, you're the one every day who's attacking the governor of Michigan, the governor of Connecticut, you know, the governor of everybody. And of course, his response was, hey, I just, you know, they said something bad about me, so I respond. So certainly we're not going to take the high road here. If you say something, I'm going to be right back at you. But my question there is, it's interesting to just watch that, you know, Trump supporters who believe, as the president has given himself a 10 out of 10, handled it perfectly, and the Trump supporters just couldn't be more behind him as always. And of course, folks who don't support the president basically look at this and go, here's a guy who back on January 22nd said, don't worry about it. Not a pandemic. It's one guy from China. And we know who he is and we got him. We're going to be just fine. I don't understand how those political differences enter into something that should be almost factual in terms of what we know and when we knew it.
Well, I think you're raising a very good point, and I think you're absolutely right. Look, I spent a lot of time in government, you know, on the state level, and some on the federal, but mostly on the state level. And it pains me. This isn't even a political comment. I mean, you introduced me as a Democratic strategist. I hope I'm looking at this objectively. I think this is governmental malpractice. And I think eventually, sadly, the people of the United States will look back at this as governmental malpractice. We have known for months, clearly back to January, that this was a widespread epidemic, not a pandemic, that was spreading around the world, and that the odds of this staying in Italy or staying in China or Korea were very, very, very slim. And you know, the joke has been at least Nero knew that that Rome was burning. I mean, we acted like nothing was burning, and there were people telling us what the problem was. And our government did nothing, did worse than nothing. It told people to go out and have a good time and don't worry about it.
Go to work.
And I go to work. And I am deathly afraid, to use the phrase, that we are headed for a catastrophe. And you read the report that the New York Times put out, you read the report that the Washington Post put out, that the CDC put out, you know, when we're talking about millions of Americans potentially dying, where an epidemic, you know, the president said that this could go on to July or August, the displacement of people and the amount of people that this is going to touch is huge. You put it in a political context. I don't know what to say. I mean, you and I've had so many conversations for so many years now about why Trump supporters don't look at facts and see them the way everybody else does. I am afraid and saddened that what may happen here, you know, when sickness and sadly perhaps death and when economic ruin come to your door, maybe that's when people wake up and just say, oh, my goodness, forgetting my politics. These people are not competent to run my government. When you see in your face that we did not provide the adequate kits to test our own citizens, when we did not get American companies to create the drugs we need, when we did not get companies to make ventilators, when we did not get hospital gowns and masks and get all of this ready, we're just doing this now. We are months and months and months behind. For someone not to say that is governmental incompetence and governmental malpractice is a shock to me. And unfortunately, I think people will learn about their government negatively because of something horrific, and that's what we're looking at.
Well, and the cultural and the political environment that we're in right now will simply suggest, as time goes on, and if things hopefully won't get bad, but if they do, you know, I have no doubt that Republicans will simply look and say it was the Democrats who held everything up, and President Trump is saving the day, and then you'll have Democrats who will say pretty much what you just said, which is this is governmental malpractice. I guess that remains to be seen, and maybe it's a hopefully it's a conversation we won't have to have one day. But let me turn to the election now.
Can I say on that point?
Sure.
I mean, at some point, Paul, and maybe I'm being too Mary Poppin-ish or whatever it is, but at some point, don't we come together as Americans and truly put politics aside and just say, hey, look, this is a national disaster, and we need, whatever you believe, whether you think it's Trump's fault or, I mean, they're blaming Obama. The man hasn't been in office in over 3 years. Whether it's his fault or whoever saw Nancy Pelosi's fault, that's all fine and good. Ultimately, we need to work together as a country and move our country forward. And I don't care what your politics are. Let's come together and do that. And I think we need to see Congress doing more of that. I think we need to see our leaders doing more of that. And we need to believe that people are people of good faith and they're really trying to protect us. And I hope that's the case.
So I think that was probably the case back in 2000. When you think about coming off of the George W. Bush years and 9/11, and the fact mm-hmm. that, you know, here was a president who essentially many would argue was made by the Supreme Court and the whole nightmare that the country went through at that point. But with 9/11, that moment of those attacks, you're right. Partisan issues out the window. Everybody supported President Bush. There was no such thing as Republican or Democrat. I don't see it happening this time. And truthfully, this could be some kind of terrorist attack. And I still feel the partisan divide is so strong in this country, it wouldn't matter. That we are just at a time and place, blame who you want for it, but we are at a time and a place where I don't personally think that coming together is an option. Not now, not these days.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And you know what another difference between 9/11 and today is? I think, and this will strike close to home, I think in 9/11, we all believed that what we were being told was the truth. We all believed that the news was the media was telling us exactly what was happening. Our government was telling us what was happening. I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't think there's a person of authority in the country anymore that we all believe in. And if that person, whoever he or she is, tells it to us, we will believe it. And that's a real problem.
As we look at towards November, Democrats are completely looking at November saying, let's move on. I think we can both agree, unless you disagree, Joe Biden is going to be the nominee for the Democrats. And it appears as though Bernie Sanders knows it, too. And even going through what may turn out to be the last debate between the two of them, my take on this, as I said on our air, was I don't think it was Bernie really thinking he was going to win. I think it was Bernie just trying to get Joe Biden to commit to a little bit more to policies on the left before he has to kind of bow out of this whole thing. First of all, do you agree with that take, or do you think Bernie's still in it to win it?
Oh, he's a smart man. The way the Democratic Party rules are set up, for better or for worse, if you fall behind, it's over. Right? You cannot fall behind in a Democratic race for president because the threshold rules in each state make it almost impossible to catch up. Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee for president. I think Senator Sanders knows that. Most people know that. And I agree with your take. I think he was trying to make a few points. I think he was hoping that Vice President Biden would say something ridiculous and change the course of things. He didn't. Actually, I thought the vice president, by and large, was very good. I support completely what you said. I think this is more about how do I bring my people along so that when I do pull out, I've gotten some points made, and that my program, my policies, the things that I believe in, we can go forward with. And I think that's what he's trying to accomplish. He will not be the nominee.
So let's do what you do best, which is the strategy piece of this. In picking a vice presidential running mate, in my mind, and I've always said, I think, you know, I always thought it would be Kamala Harris, that's a smart play. People say Stacey Abrams. I don't see it, but I do see Kamala Harris, until Joe Biden said, I will appoint an African-American woman to the Supreme Court. I went, okay, there's Kamala. I know it could be somebody else, but I just thought, ah, that makes sense. And I'm really thinking, since we now know it will be a woman, that if Biden, you're the strategist, but if Biden were, I think, smart, he might just go for Elizabeth Warren, who smartly has moved to the sidelines, given herself a shot at whoever becomes the nominee. But I think it's because it allows Biden to bring the party together and say, okay, Bernie supporters, you love Bernie. You also loved Elizabeth. You were good with either one of them. I'm putting her on my ticket. It's time to come together. That's what I think happens.
I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to go with the Kamala Harris thing a lot more than with Elizabeth Warren. You know, I've worked on vice presidential selections in the past, as you know. And, you know, most specifically in 2008, one of the big reasons that Joe Biden was selected, as opposed to Evan Bayh, two senators, it came right down to the end. It was basically, as we were told at the moment, it was a coin flip between the two of them, whether it was going to be Evan Bayh or Joe Biden. One of the major, major, major reasons, perhaps the reason Joe Biden got to run as vice president, was because he was from a state with a Democratic governor. And that is huge, much more important now than it was even in 2008. Elizabeth Warren is a senator from a state with a Republican governor. If she becomes vice president of the United States, the next senator from Massachusetts will be a Republican.
That's true.
That is massive. And I don't expect to see her on the ticket. I expect to see the woman he selects also to be younger. Senator Warren is 70, still young these days, especially compared to the men who are running. But I don't expect to see her. I think Kamala Harris, I've always thought this. I've thought this for 2 years. Makes a compelling case on why it could be her. I do think that Amy Klobuchar would be a terrific. I mean, this election is going to be in the upper Midwest. Who better than Amy Klobuchar?
Unless she's your attorney general.
I'm sorry?
Unless she's your attorney general.
One of them, right. I could see that also. Stacey Abrams, I could tell you from private conversations I've had, I have been told straight out that that is not happening.
That's some news.
That is some news. I've been told that directly. Now, life changes, things change, we move on, you do what's best at the moment. But it is hard for me to see, you know, again, having worked in this, it is hard for me to see if I am going to put the resumes of those three women, Klobuchar, Harris, and Abrams, on a, you know, in front of me, and I'm going to read the three of them who I would select. Look, this sex, you know, the gender is great, the race is great, the ethnicity, okay, that's all great. The bottom line, the true bottom line, is this person, maybe more than any other time in our history, has to be viewed as the next president of the United States. We are about to elect a 78-year-old man to be president of the United States if Joe Biden wins. You better believe that whoever is vice president better be ready to serve on day one. I mean, I'm not saying anything about the vice president. I think may he live to be 100. That's not my point. The American people are going to want to know that whoever that person picks for vice president is ready to go on day one. It is hard to make an argument that Stacey Abrams is ready to be president of the United States. I mean, in all due respect, she was the minority leader of the Georgia legislature for a couple of terms. It is hard for anyone to look at that and say, oh, yes, she's so much more qualified than Senators Harris or Klobuchar. I believe it will be one of them. If Vice President Biden wants to shake it up, there are a couple other really outstanding people. Governor Whitmer of Michigan would be incredible. Governor Lujan Grisham, a Latina from New Mexico, she would be great. She was a congresswoman, head of the Latina caucus, mm-hmm. would be great. Senator Cortez Masto from Nevada is a Latina also, and head of the DSCC. Those are three dark horses. I think it's one of those five.
What do you think of Val Demings?
Oh, I think she's terrific. My problem with her, if you want to call it that, is it's going to take me too long to explain to you why she would be great, right? As opposed to Kamala Harris with, you know, she ran for president, she equipped herself well, she was an attorney general, she was a United States senator, she brings a lot to the table, Globuchar brings a lot to the table. Demings is terrific. Again, I think, you know, we're dealing with a relatively short campaign. I think it's just harder to make the case of why that person is the most qualified person to be president of the United States if the nominee is unable to continue.
Okay. Let me take you on to the general election a little bit. We'll talk about this again, but it amazes me because when people talk about Joe Biden, now he's too old and, you know, it's like he's got one foot in the grave and his mind is gone and whatever. Joe Biden will, as you said, be, I think, 78 years old at the time. Donald Trump will be 74 years old at the time. And you can probably make a comparison, gaff for gaff, between the two of them, or misstatement for misstatement for between the two of them. Why is it that my sense of the things is that the Republicans will get the edge in terms of people will talk about Joe Biden being old and frail and Donald Trump being young and spry?
Because you're right. That is how it will be portrayed. It's really an interesting thing. The Democratic Party has lost the handle on so many of these types of things. You know, I've known Joe Biden a long time. I greatly admire it and respect him. And he does make mistakes. But I'll tell you this. I think they're mistakes from the heart. I think he makes mistakes because he just errs. I think the president of the United States sometimes makes mistakes and sometimes says things that are just absolutely ridiculous and are cruel and are mean, and he does it intentionally. He knew in January that we were headed towards a major disaster. He knew it, but he didn't think it was in his political interest to do the right thing. So he didn't. But it's not that he didn't know. We both know that the president of the United States was fully briefed on this over and over and over again. And it seems that people have been telling him that he better act, and he decided not to. So, yes, does Joe Biden make mistakes? Yes. Has he been making mistakes since he was elected to the United States Senate in 1972? Yes. That's who he is. I think they're mistakes from the heart. He misspeaks. That's who he is. I think the president of the United States also makes mistakes. But I think a lot of it, first of all, I think he is grotesquely misinformed because he doesn't care to be informed. But I also think he makes what you and I may call a mistake more for venal reasons. And the last thing is, yeah, we collectively, and the media deserves blame for this as well, has viewed Senator and Vice President Biden as, you know, an old guy who, you know, is losing it a little bit, but that the other guy, you know, he just lies, and that's okay. So we call one a lie, and we call the other one pre-senility. Both are wrong, you know. The press needs to be telling us also the truth here. Look, I thought the vice president did a great job at the debates, and I think maybe we'll put a lot of this to rest. I think the Republican Party will be, their campaign will be over and over and over again that this guy is too old, too sick, too senile to be president of the United States. It ties completely into your point about who do you pick for vice president, because that person has to be so above reproach that everybody looks at whoever he or she is, well, it'll be she, and says, oh yeah, I could see that person as president. That's why Stacey Abrams or someone that we don't know, who hasn't been vetted, isn't in the public mind, is almost impossible at this juncture.
Let me just look at a matchup. We'll look at this again down the line, I'm sure. But when you watched Joe Biden handle Bernie Sanders at the debate, you know, you give him points. I mean, the truth is Bernie Sanders threw some punches. His language is stronger, but Biden simply has a presidential appearance about him. I think most people would agree, even if you don't like the guy. When you put Trump next to him for a debate, I mean, the styles are so different. Biden gets defensive. Biden kind of trips over his words, and Trump will just go on the attack. Do you have hope that Joe Biden can handle himself in a debate against President Trump?
My hope is he gets through it. I don't expect
not very hopeful
to win. Yeah, I'm sorry. But being honest here, look, I'm sure I could tell you what my friends would like me to say. He's going to have trouble. he's going to have trouble. Donald Trump is an actor. He's trained at this. He knows how to handle the media. He does things on the debate stage that are just outlandish. I can picture him like wrinkling up his face and like throwing his arms, you know, out at the cameras, like, oh, this guy's ridiculous. He's going to do all types of things. Yeah, I suspect that Donald Trump will quote unquote win the debate, but I truly believe that the country has moved so dramatically, things have happened so dramatically in the last couple of weeks, I don't think the debates are going to be dispositive this time. I don't think that's how the public is going to make up their mind. I truly, honestly believe that the public is going to look at Joe Biden and they're going to say a couple of things. One, this man is competent. This man knows the government. And that's what he showed the other night. When he said, I'm going to send the troops in because this is what the military can. He was explaining how to use the government. Donald Trump has no clue how to use the government. I mean, he has no idea how the government could be marshaled to lead a country forward. So I think the vice president is going to look competent. He's going to look sincere. He's going to look compassionate. And he's going to make the people understand, I think, you know, a majority of the people understand that this is the man at this moment in our history who we need. And just remember what we're talking about. 100,000 votes in four states, Hillary Clinton was president of the United States. I think Joe Biden is going to get those votes. I think Donald Trump's going to get his votes, period. End of story. He's going to get his votes. But that was a minority last time. I think it's going to be a minority this time. And I think what you're going to see is people in Michigan and Minnesota and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, I think a number of those people are going to be looking at not the debate necessarily, but who do I have faith in? I need a leader. I need someone to follow. I just think that's going to be, I think it's going to be an easy choice. I really do. And I don't think the debates will be dispositive. I think people will kind of shrug it. I also think so much, you know, you and I have talked about this over the years. So much is baked in already. We expect Joe Biden to say something silly. Okay. We just expect it. We expect the president of the United States to lie to us. As painful as that is for me to accept, there are a lot of people just, well, you expect him to lie. This stuff is baked into our equation already. And I think that this campaign is going to spin on other things. And it's going to spin on, you know, we, God willing, we have just come through a war against a deadly virus. And who do you trust to rebuild this country, to lead us forward, to rebuild our economy, right? And to deal with us in a compassionate way to lead us to a better future. Between those two, I admit I'm a little biased. I don't think it's close. I don't think it's close. And I truly, honestly, for the first time in a long time, feel that Joe Biden will be elected president. I really do. We'll discuss this again. But as I sit here today, it is hard for me to imagine with the stock market in a free fall, with businesses closed, with people not knowing, you know, are they going to get a paycheck or not? How long is this going to go on? The president of the United States has said, you know, he sees this going on until August, right? Wow. There is not much time between August and the first week in November. So I think this spins on something not to debate.
All right. I just hope if you work with the vice president, work with the president as time goes, I should say, as you work with the Democratic nominee, Joe Biden, give him a more updated line that I'm going to beat him like a drum. Will you do that for me?
Why? We don't beat people like drums anymore?
Well, it's a bunch of malarkey. Joe needs to up his references. That's all I'm saying.
Someone needs to have a 21st century education process with him. You know,
it's true.
If you want to reinforce that you're an old guy, why don't you talk about, what do you say, turntables and some other things?
Well, exactly. That's the kind of thing that's going to just keep hitting him. We will revisit this. Richard Gordon, attorney, Democratic strategist, thanks for all the insight. It's not usual that we get this kind of free time to chat here in the podcast, but with theater shut down and the arts shut down, we've got time for politics, and I thank you for your time.
Well, I'm glad we do. I enjoy being on. I think the curtain is coming down on the Trump administration, and we'll get to see that in the future.
We're going to see what happens. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.